All right, taking control of your money. And this session, we're going to look at how to save money. Now, I remember growing up, my father was really big on teaching his children about money. And I think he was raised in a relatively poor family. He talks about it, his mother, my grandmother, you know, they'd slaughter a pig and she would make soap out of the lard and she would can and they worked hard for the money that they had. And so my dad, you know, grew up in, you know, money was tight, the Depression and all of that. And so he wanted us to understand it. So at a very young age, my dad would have jobs for us to do, and he would sell us things. We had to buy everything. So I'm 5 years old, 6 years old, and I have to buy my baseball glove. He sold both my brother. He found some used ones, and they were $2. And we had to pull weeds at a penny a weed. And then when we had 200 pulled, you know, $2, then, you know, we could have the baseball mitt. So he taught us early on the actual cost of things, that, you know, you have to do a bunch of work in order to get this thing that you want. And, you know, the value of that thing is based on how much work you have to do to get it, and how you have to sometimes delay your gratification. You can't have what you want now. You have to make money, you have to save money, and then eventually, when you have enough, you can get the thing that you wanted. So he taught us very early on. Now, I was a saver. I'm the oldest of my family, and I was a saver. My dad kept a little booklet. My dad was the bank, and, you know, we had money with the bank of dad. And we would keep track of it. And I enjoyed the number going up. You know, you save $5, and now it's $6, and now it's $7, now it's $8, now it's $10. And if I spend $5, I'm back to $5, and I didn't want to do that. So I was a saver. My brother was a spender. Whatever money he got, he would just spend it on whatever he wanted at the moment. So he never had any money. I had money. And I never didn't have money, because I saved ever since I can remember. And saving became sort of fun for me. Now, I don't know where you're at, okay? So I'm going to, maybe some of you weren't raised in a home where you had a father or mother that taught you about money and the value of work and how to delay your gratification long enough to save money for things that you really want or opportunities that you don't know about that are in the future. So I think if you're not very good at this, I think you'll enjoy this time together. A penny saved is a penny earned. Benjamin Franklin said this. Actually, a penny saved is a penny earned plus interest. Okay, whatever money you save, it's as if you earned it. And not only that, but you get interest on the money that you're saving. Or at least you should try to get interest for it. Bible verses about saving money. Okay, Proverbs 10, verse 5. A wise youth makes hay while the sun shines, but what a shame to see a lad who sleeps away his hour of opportunity. Okay, so I grew up in the city, but then when I was 15 years old, my dad bought a farm, and we moved out to the farm. And he taught my brother and I how to milk the cows, and then he went off to work. And I remember one summer haying with another fireman, and we went around to all the farms, and we did the hay. And it was a hard-working summer. But you have to hay. You need two or three or four good sunny days without rain in order to hay. And so you just have to do it. When the hay is ready, when it's sunny, you go out and do it. And that's what this verse is saying, that you know, the opportunities in front of you, you don't want to waste. And so what's the hour of opportunity in terms of saving money? Right now, maybe you're making some money. It doesn't mean you have to spend it. this is, you know, you're making it, so this is your chance to put it in the barn, you know, for the winter when you might need it. Proverbs 6, verse 6, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander or overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Saving is about thinking ahead. Okay, a lot of times we live in the moment. We make the money, we spend the money. That's living paycheck to paycheck. Saving money is I make the money and is I don't even know what I want to do with this money right now, but I'm going to save it. I'm going to save it because there might be something that I really want that I don't know about yet. Or it might be an emergency or a need that I will have in the future that I have no idea about. So I'm not going to spend it now. I'm going to save it for later. Why save money? Can you give an example of each of the following? Okay. Expected future needs. So one reason to save money is expected future needs. You're going to need a car. So I told you about my car. The first car, I saved enough money so I could buy my first car, and I immediately started saving for my next car. Now, I could just wait until that car died, but then I wouldn't have the money to get the next car, and I have to buy a car, and I have to make payments. I wanted to be able to pay cash for the car, my next car. So I start saving for my future car now. Saving for your kids going to college. If you don't save ahead of time, when it comes time for them to go to college, you won't have any money to help them. So expected future needs. You know certain needs that are coming. Okay, retirement. Are you going to work forever? Probably not. So you start saving now for the expected need that you have in the future. Number two, unexpected future needs. You know, maybe there's a medical thing that happens in your life and all of a sudden, you know, I had a new hip put in. It cost, you know, insurance paid for some of it, but it didn't pay for everything. And so I had to have money in the bank to be able to support, you know, that future need that I didn't know about. Okay, it just came upon me. Unexpected future needs. Big ticket items like, you know, buying a house. A lot of people get trapped into renting and, you know, paying a lot of money and not getting any equity. The problem with renting is you have no equity. In other words, you're paying a monthly payment, but after 5 years of paying for this house, you don't own any of it. Okay, when you buy a house, you have monthly payments, just like rent. But little by little, you're paying the house off. And over time, you know, maybe 20, 30 years, you end up owning the whole thing. The whole value of the house is what you now owe. Well, unless you have enough, a lot of people get trapped into renting because they don't have enough money to make a down payment. You know, when you buy a thing like a house or a car or something big, people, you know, it costs $30,000, but we want you to put $5,000 down, you know, to show that you're serious about this. Well, if you don't have the $5,000 down, you can't ever do it. And that's where people get stuck into the rent. They don't have enough for the down payment. So saving, I'm going to save my money. I'm going to live in my parents' basement. I'm going to save enough money for the next 3 years, and then maybe I'll have enough money for a down payment. Future goals. Okay, so, you know, maybe you want to start your own business. Maybe you want to help your children start their business. Or you want to start some kingdom enterprise. And so you're saving money now for that future goal. Which of the following oppositions to saving do you struggle with most and why? So again, this is something you can do in a small group. You can do this in your family. You can do this with your spouse. Which of the following oppositions to saving money do you struggle with most and why? Present needs. Okay, one reason why we don't save any money is we're behind on everything we're doing right now. we don't have enough money right now for our food, our rent, our transportation. You know, maybe you have some student loans, whatever, you know, whatever you're spending money on. Your present needs are consuming you, and you have no wherewithal to give money towards future needs. Maybe that's what you struggle with. Present wants. It's not needs. It's wants. It's things you want. You don't need these things. You don't need a new car. Your old car will get you by. You don't need a new house. You don't need new clothes. You know, how many pair of pants can you wear? One. You know, really, you know, I have a closet full of clothes and so on, but the reality is I wear like three or four different things all the time. I have my favorites, and I should just get rid of all the rest. How many pair of shoes does someone wear or need? So we get stuck in our wants. Number three, which of the following oppositions to saving do you struggle with most? Addictions to spending. Addiction to spending, okay? You know, that we talked about this earlier, about how it feels good. We end up feeling good about ourselves. I don't need a new pair of shoes. But when I have a new pair of shoes on, I just walk a little lighter. I walk a little taller because I feel better. You know, our image is in part what we wear. And so it feels good. We like the feel good of that package coming in the mail and we open it up. It's like we're giving ourselves a birthday party and we get addicted to that. Used to be we had to wait once a year, and we were dependent on people around us to recognize it's our birthday and give us a present. But now we can just give it to ourselves. Which one of these do you struggle with most? Present needs, present wants, addiction to spending. Which of the following strategies to saving money have you tried? What strategy do you struggle with the most, and then why? Okay, so I'm going to go through a list of things. Okay, do you struggle with investing in things that will not only save you money, but will help it grow? Do you spend your money that way? Like, my brother and I own a few vacation properties. We bought them. We had to fix them up, and then we rent them out. It not only saves us money in the end, but it helps our money grow. Next one. Separate funds for different areas of spending. Maybe you've tried this in terms of a strategy for saving. Separate funds for different areas of spending beyond the basics of rent, mortgage, insurance, gas, electric, water, garbage. So after paying the above, you have separate funds amounts for going out to eat, entertainment, cable, Wi-Fi, vacation. So you know what I'm talking about there? I'm talking, this is in many ways what a budget is. It's looking at the money that you have and then allocating certain amounts of that money towards different topics. And when, you know, let's say once a month you have a budget for going out to eat of $40. So in other words, if you spend that $40 in the first week of the month, going out to eat is done for that month. You're only going to spend the money that is allocated for that particular thing when you have money for that particular thing. And when it's gone, you don't do it. Rather than having all your money in a big pool and you just take money out for whatever the cause is, and all of a sudden you're out of money. And you have no idea how it happened. Automatic savings account. Maybe you've tried this where, you know, so much of your paycheck immediately gets put into savings. You don't have the opportunity to spend it. You don't have to make any decisions about whether you're going to save it or not. It just automatically goes there. The cash-only rule. Use cash to buy everything. No impulse buying with a credit card. Okay? Cash only. This, by the way, is a great strategy. If you struggle with spending money and you know, at the end of the week, it's like, hi, I ended up spending money I didn't have. I ended up spending more money. I bought the stupid things. One of the reasons why we buy impulsively is because of the credit card. The credit card is just a piece of plastic. It's not very big. It's right there. It's in your wallet. It goes around with you. You always have money. You can always buy the thing. And whether it's a lot of money or a little money, it's just the same credit card. It's just the signature. Okay? $100 or $1,000, it's the same signature. Whereas if you do the cash only, if you had you're going to buy something for $1,000 and you had $20 bills, you'd have a wad of $20 this much, and you don't carry that around. So now you see this opportunity, you want to buy this thing, now you got to go to the bank, you got to get the cash, you got to haul out the cash, and now it looks like a lot of money. It's not just a signature. The cash only system is a tremendous way to get a hold of your spending. Put a check mark by all the things to save money that you're already doing, and a box that you later put a check mark in when you try it next to the things that you want or need to try. Okay. So here's some ideas about how to save money. First of all, and put a check mark by the things you want to give a try. Check these things and then try to put them into practice in this next week, or you'll forget about them. Negotiate every purchase. I remember my father taught me this. We went in to get windshield wipers for the car, and he went into this gas station, and he, I need some windshield wipers, and how much are they? And the guy said the price, and then my dad said, what's the fireman's discount? My dad was a fireman. What's the fireman's discount? What? There probably is no fireman's discount. Well, the guy said, the farmer's discount is this. And he gave him $2 off. And then when we walked out, my dad said, do you see? He didn't even understand what I said. I said fireman, and he thought I said farmer. It doesn't matter what I said. See, if you just ask for a discount, you might get it. I mean, what's the harm in asking? No matter where you are, no matter what you're buying, hey, what's the discount for, the student discount? I'm a student at Christian Leaders Institute. What's the student discount? And you never know. Next one, cut up credit cards. Credit cards lead to impulse spending. We talked about that. Go to the cash system. Next one, no packaged foods. I mean, here in the United States, you used to be able to buy a big block of cheese, and it was relatively inexpensive, and you got to cut it with a knife. Or you can buy a pre-cut up thing of cheese, and each slice is individually wrapped. Well, guess what? You'll spend twice as much. I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but you add it up. Ask for fees waived. Sometimes the bank wants to give you a fee because of this or that, or, some penalty. Often if you ask that a fee gets waived, they'll do it. Price compare. Don't just buy. You're at the store. Nowadays, on our phones, we can look up the price of anything. Sell stuff you don't use or need. I can't emphasize this enough. If you have something, let's say I have this incredible cup. Let's say this is a really, costly cup. It's a $10 cup. It's made out of silver or something. Okay. Now, I own it. I bought it years ago, so I own it. It's paid for. And the mistake we often make is, since it's paid for, it doesn't owe me anything. Yes, you know what? If I can sell this cup for $10, you know what's costing me right now? It's costing me $10. Because I could have $10 in my pocket, but instead I don't. I have this cup. So this cup literally is costing me $10, even though I already paid for it. This is a hard concept, but it's really true. You have to think it through. If I didn't have this cup, I would have $10. But because I have the cup, I don't have $10. Sell stuff you don't use or need. Next one. Rent out space you don't use. These days, it's easy to rent out stuff. You have a room, you can get... I know friends. They have a big house. They have a little thing in their basement, and they rent it to somebody, and they get $300, $400 a month. And it helps towards their mortgage. Rent out space you don't need. Next, buy secondhand. I buy secondhand all the time. I rarely spend money on something new. Take public transportation. You can get by without transportation. Turn down the thermostat. Take lunch to work. Buy in bulk. Reevaluate TV, cable, internet, phone plan. Do you really need all these things? Have a garden that you can grow some crops. Pay extra on your loans instead of all that interest that accrues year after year. Make saving automatic as possible. You know, your check account, you put your check in the bank and half of it goes to savings without you even thinking about it. Buy generic. You don't have to have the best. You don't have to have the latest and the greatest. Before buying, apply hay wagon test. My wife has a sister lives in Iowa, and they have a lot of farms in Iowa, and they often will go to these sales. And the auctioneer will often be on a hay wagon. And on the hay wagon will be all kinds of stuff, you know, toasters and knickknacks and cups and, you know, all the different things that people acquire over, you know, a lifetime. And they sell them for $3, for $5, to $2. It's just stuff. It's stuff that's not important. And so my wife's sister, they came up with this phrase, hay wagon test. Before they buy something, they ask themselves, if one day is this going to sit on our hay wagon, you know, just stuff that has to be gotten rid of? Do we really need this stuff? Increase insurance deductibles. So when you housing or whatever, health insurance, whatever it might be, a deductible is what you have to pay. You know, let's say, you know, we had this, my brother and I, we have a house that we were working on and a tornado ripped the roof off about a month ago. So we have insurance. But we have a high deductible insurance, so our insurance is lower. In other words, we have to pay the first $5,000 or the first $10,000, and then the insurance kicks in. Well, it makes insurance cheaper. Limit gift giving. You know, a lot of people that you give gifts, I mean, a lot of times we do it because we want to feel good about ourselves. It's not because the person needs this thing. So we keep giving things that people don't need ends up on their hay wagon. Pass on extended warranties. You buy something and then they want to know for $15 you can get a warranty. Well, you know what? You're going to lose the warranty. You know, when that thing breaks, you know, the hassle of trying to collect on a warranty is way more than most people can figure out. Pass on the extended warranty. Insulate your home. If you live in the cold climates like I do, you can save on your heating bill. Pay bills on time. You don't get fees and penalties. Put money saved towards a winning purpose. You know, what is it that you want to buy? And then, you know, save towards, you know, when you have something specific that you're trying to earn money towards, it's a lot easier to save the money. I'm saving money for the next car. I'm saving money for my kids' education. I'm saving money because I want to give this particular thing to the church. See, when you have something in mind, it's easier to save money. It's not just saving money for some unknown goal. I'm saving money for something that I know about. Travel cheaply. You know, my wife and I, when we travel cheaply. How inexpensive can we do this? We're not going to a restaurant every day. Be a saver. You know, once you start saving, you'll discover that it's actually kind of fun. You're like making progress. You're getting somewhere. Stop comparing yourself to others. You know, a lot of times we buy things just so that we look good towards others. Set up a saving plan. Setting up a saving plan, I'm going to save so much of my paycheck every 2 weeks. That's easier to figure out once than having to decide how much I want to save out of every single paycheck. Realize that the money you save will get eventually spent. It's not like you're losing the money you save. You're just postponing what you're spending it on. get the whole family on board. Seek out friends that have financial goals so that you can talk about these things and reinforce one another. Okay, discuss these and other ways of saving money that you as a group can think of. If you have time, you also might make a list of how people waste money. Okay? So, saving money, there's all these different ways that we can save money. That's sort of the positive side. Then there's the negative side. If you can think of how you're wasting money and then do something about that, guess what? You end up saving money. So, saving money, the other way to think about it is not wasting money. All right, so I'm glad that you could spend this little bit of time talking about money and how we can save money. I think if you start doing it, remember again, if you're doing this with your spouse, sit down and talk about these things with your spouse. If you can with your family, even when kids are little, I mean, if you can get your kids started early on these topics, you're doing them a great service for their future. Or if you're doing this in a small group, which can become your support group. So I hope you enjoy, you know, look at these slides again. Actually write down some things that you are going to concretely do. In other words, you're just listening to this, you're going, oh yeah, that makes some sense. But if you don't do anything, it's not going to do you any good. So pick one or two things and say, I'm going to try this and see how it goes. And we'll see you again shortly.